The Old Testament reading for the circumcision and name of Jesus is found in the book of Numbers, the 6th chapter. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.' So they shall put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson appointed for this day is from Paul's letter to the church at Galatia, the 3rd chapter. "Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 2nd chapter. "And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We meditate today on these few short words from the appointed gospel for this day. "And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus." In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear baptized people of grace, on this 8th day, since the Savior of the world, which is Christ the Lord, was born unto you in the city of David, after the Son of God was incarnate by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, there were certain preparations and necessities for this high priest. And at the end of 8 days, we are told, he was called Jesus. But first, he was circumcised. The circumcision of our Lord took place right there in Bethlehem on the 8th day after the birth of the Son of God. It was to be done by a priest. Before this priest, the infant priest was to be circumcised and named. These two events in the life of our Lord are momentous, and they are connected. In them, we behold two of the first stunning and necessary preparations of the high priest, the true high priest, as he begins his exodus from heaven to the temple in the promised land where he shall return. First, consider the naming of this infant, who is the creator of the universe, who is the Son of the Most High God, who is God of God, who is Lord of Lords, the great Yahweh, the jealous God, who is a righteous judge on Judgment Day. Mary knew what his name should be, for she was instructed of that name by the messenger God sent to her. "You will conceive in your womb," she was told, "and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus." Later, Joseph, too, was reminded that his name would be Jesus. For an angel said to him, "You will call his name Jesus, for what he will do. He will save his people from their sin. Yeshua, in the Old Testament, we sometimes pronounce it Joshua, is a word that in Greek is called Jesus, a name that means Savior. The Creator is Savior. The Son of the Most High is Savior. He who is very God of very God is Savior. Yahweh is Savior. The Judge is your Savior. There can be no greater Savior than Jesus. This is He who will save His people from their sins, from your transgressions against God's holy will and word, from your sins of omission and commission, from your sins of weakness and ignorance, those of body, mouth, and brain, from all your sins. Indeed, you have heard the message before. To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful. Therefore, at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And therefore, being named Jesus, was one of the first preparations for the high priest before entering the Holy of Holies in his temple. The other preparation that took place on the 8th day was that of circumcision. Through this holy, God-given Old Testament rite, commanded to be done in the Old Testament church, God had attached his word of promise. Now an infant boy was brought into the congregation of the Old Testament church. Thus, the 8th day old infant had the forgiveness of sin, eternal life, and salvation that God had promised in his word. But again, we are struck by this question: why did Jesus undergo this? Not for himself, but for sinners. Not for himself, but for you. This reminds us how Paul speaks about how circumcision is sort of a prelude that points us to baptism, whereby infants, even today, are brought into the congregation of the New Testament community. Thus, today's baby who is baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit has the forgiveness of sins, has eternal life, and has salvation. The same forgiveness, life, and salvation that God promises in his word. On the 8th day, there are two priests present, the one on duty and the other 8 days old. Dearly beloved, I invite you to look at Jesus. At 30 or so years of age, he is baptized, though he is without sin. He is eternal life, and he is the Savior, which name means Jesus. So he did not need to be baptized for himself, but he was baptized for sinners, for you, in order that he might fulfill all righteousness. And he is already now at 8 days preparing for the atoning sacrifice on the cross. For at the 8th day, he sheds his blood. Though he is without sin, he is the head of the church, and he is her Savior. He is your Savior, which name means Jesus. He is sanctified, the water of this world, that it may be used with his gracious word in the rite of baptism. He did not need to be circumcised for himself, but he was circumcised for all sinners, in order that all, male and female, as we heard in the epistle, young and old, might know that because of your baptism, that in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. And baby Jesus, on that 8th day, is here already shedding his first blood, in the atoning sacrifice for sinners, offered by the infant high priest in order that he might fulfill the law of God on your behalf. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So writes the human author in Hebrews. Behold, see what the Savior has done in order to come to his temple. What he did initially in his circumcision, then later with the stripes on his back, from the crown of thorns on his sacred head, and from the nail wounds in his hands and feet, and finally the thrust of the spear in his side. At once, John tells us, out came water and blood. These are the preparations necessary for you in order for him to enter his temple. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? And behold, he says, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Behold, you are the temple of God. You have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer you who live, but it is now Christ who lives in you and through you. And the life you now live in the flesh, you live by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. You are the temple of the Lord God Almighty. Or do you not know that Jesus says that he was in the Father and that the Father was in him? You are the temple, therefore, of the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You are not your own. You were bought with a price, and you were given that name where God himself would dwell. Thus the Lord continues to cleanse his temple. As you live in God's baptism, he daily raises you up from death and clothes you in the robe of his righteousness wrought on Calvary's holy mountain. He dresses you with the royal linens of the wedding garments. God's absolution permits you to be in his presence and grants you a place at his table. Thus you present yourself in his presence, and you hear a voice of invitation, lift up your hearts, and you respond, we lift them up unto the Lord. Then the blood of the high priest, shed for you, for the remission of sins, is sprinkled on wretched hearts, fed to parched and sin-parched lips in his supper. And truly, your previous prayer in the liturgy is answered, where you cried, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit. To which you answered your joyful Amen. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb, for he comes saving you from your sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.